Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. Jeremiah 30, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto you, or spoken unto thee, in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace thereof shall remain. And the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. But who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it." Let me stop here and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to preach tonight. I do pray, Lord, that we'll get a blessing from God's word even tonight. And then, Lord, if anybody still traveling at this late time, I pray to get them here safely. And we pray that you'll just bless this meeting now. If anybody in this room is not saved, I pray they get saved before they leave this building tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of you have been coming out week after week since we started this series in the book of Jeremiah. And you've noticed the repetition time after time that the book of Jeremiah mainly deals with Judah and their capital city, Jerusalem, in the days preceding, days leading up to the invasion by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar and his army, who would come in and destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and take the people away into captivity. And Jeremiah kept warning the people this was going to happen. The people ignored Jeremiah. The people didn't like what Jeremiah was saying. The false prophets were saying, no, don't listen to Jeremiah, everything's going to be okay. Even when they were taken into captivity, the false prophets said, don't worry, we're going to be going home soon. Don't listen to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, no, you better get settled in. You're going to be there 70 years. Well, that's what the first 29 chapters was mostly about. Tonight, there's a change. Tonight, we'll see a different focus in chapter 30. Tonight, the theme here is the time of Jacob's trouble. We see that expression in verse 7. It's talking about the tribulation and then how the millennial kingdom will follow the tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble refers to the seven-year tribulation period. So in other words, the first 29 chapters of Jeremiah were primarily historic. This chapter is mostly prophetic. So there is a difference tonight, and I trust you'll see that as we continue. Now, the Bible certainly teaches the final restoration of Israel. That is very clear from studying Bible prophecy, that Israel will be restored back in their own land. Now, what we're seeing today, I don't think is a complete fulfillment of that, but it certainly seems to be leading up to that. Israel is back in the land, but we're going to see more and more of that in the days ahead, and certainly during the tribulation period, Israel will be back in the land, and then that, of course, will lead up to the millennial kingdom. Now, the Bible teaches the final restoration of Israel, which will be preceded by the Great Tribulation, referred to here in verse 7 as the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, of course, the time of Jacob's trouble means the time of Israel's trouble, since Jacob, of course, is Israel. And you look at verse number 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, verse 3, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land. That's not just talking about returning to the land after the 70 years captivity. This is talking about returning to the land in the latter days. In fact, if you look at verse 24, in the latter days you shall consider it. That's talking about the latter days of Israel, the days, what we call the end times. So it's talking about not returning after the 70 years captivity, though that certainly is part of it. It goes way beyond that to when Israel and Judah shall return to the land, what we call the future restoration of Israel. So notice, by the way, in verse number 3 and in verse number 4 and several other places here in Jeremiah chapter 30, you'll notice it talks about Israel and Judah. We haven't seen that before in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah to now has only been about Judah. Why? Israel had already gone into captivity. The Assyrians had already taken the northern kingdom of Israel into captivity. The kingdom was divided. And it had been divided ever since the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And the northern kingdom fell first. And Jeremiah was living in the days after the fall of the northern kingdom and right up to and during the fall of the southern kingdom of Jerusalem. Samaria had already fallen. Jerusalem was about to fall. But notice these prophecies here. It talks about the restoration not only of Judah, but Israel and Judah. And that's very significant. Israel and Judah will be reunited in the last days. And they will be both restored to the land. In fact, if you study the book of Revelation, it talks about all 12 tribes of Israel. Not just northern tribes, southern tribes, not just Judah, not just Israel, but all 12 tribes. The 12 tribes will be united. So the Bible teaches here the future restoration, not just of Israel, but Israel and Judah. You don't got to turn there, but I'll read this to you. Ezekiel 39, verse 25, says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, of course Jacob is Israel, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. Notice, I'll have mercy upon the whole house. That means Judah and Israel. Says Ezekiel 39:25. Ezekiel talks quite a bit about the restoration of Israel. Of course, so does Isaiah. All the prophets do. But Ezekiel talks much about Israel and Judah being reunited, and they're all going to be restored in the last days. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. Again, you don't got to turn there. I'll read it to you. But Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12 says, the Lord shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So today the Jews are scattered all over the world. That term is usually referred to as the term used as the dispersion. They've been dispersed, they've been scattered all over the world. Here they're told they're going to be gathered together, the dispersed of Judah and the outcast of Israel from the four corners of the earth. That's Isaiah 11, verse 12. Now, the destruction of Jerusalem, which is such an important theme in the book of Jeremiah, the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity, and their return to return from Babylon to Jerusalem, all of this was a foreshadowing of what will take place during the time of Jacob's trouble. So, yes, Jeremiah is alluding to the return after the 70 years, but that's just a foreshadowing. Really, this chapter, chapter 30, and the following chapters here, deal with the future restoration of Israel and Judah. So the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, the Babylonian captivity, the return from Babylon, all of that was a foreshadowing of what's going to take place during the time of Jacob's trouble. These prophecies here in chapter 30 look beyond Jeremiah's day, beyond the return after the 70 years, and the restoration, beyond the restoration at the end of the 70 years. That was a very partial restoration. Only a few of them came back. But there's going to be a full restoration of Israel in the latter days. These prophecies are still future, and they have not yet been fulfilled. That's important to understand. Look, for example, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God. Well, has Israel been doing that? No, not at all. It's a very secularized country. Many unbelievers, atheists there, they reject Jesus Christ. They're not serving the Lord their God. And David their king. I'll say more about that, but I take the Bible literally. You could say I'm a fundamentalist, and I take the Bible literally. I believe there'll be a literal resurrection of David. David will serve during the millennial kingdom. I believe that with all my heart. That's not taking place. Now, that hasn't taken place, but this is going to happen. It's going to happen in the future. They shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest. Well, they're not in rest now, I'll tell you that. Now with the Hamas and all these other terrorists shooting missiles over at them. No, they're not getting a good night's rest now. No, there's a lot of turmoil over there. But they're going to be in rest during the millennial kingdom. Jacob shall return and shall be in rest. And be quiet. Not much quiet over there now. No. And none shall make them afraid. Look at verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. This is still future. How about verse 22? Verse 22. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Well, that certainly doesn't sound like Israel today, but it's going to take place someday. The future restoration of Israel. Warren Wiersbe, the Bible teacher, says Jeremiah had two horizons in view. The nearer horizon of the return of the exiles to Judah, and the farther horizon of the regathering of Israel in the end times from the nations of the earth. And that's the proper way to understand our passage tonight. First thing I want to emphasize tonight, it's very important, is the tribulation will proceed, or I should say precede, the tribulation will precede the millennial kingdom. It has to. Before there's going to be a millennial kingdom, first there has to be the tribulation. Harry Ironside said, before there can be the fulfillment of the promises of blessing, there must be the tasting to the full of the cup of the Lord's indignation. The subject, therefore, to which these words introduce us is that of the Great Tribulation. Before the appearing of Israel's once rejected Messiah and the establishment of the kingdom, the favored nation will be exposed as never before to the power of the oppressor and to the malice of Satan. It is their special punishment for having crucified and slain the anointed of the Lord. Now, I think when Ironside wrote that, it was before World War II. They certainly suffered a lot then, but they'll suffer even more during the tribulation. If you take the Bible literally, what's going to take place in the tribulation will be even worse than the horrors of World War II and what the Jews experienced under the terrible conditions of Adolf Hitler. The pain and suffering will be so severe that it's likened to the travail pains that precede the birth of a child. Look at chapter 30, verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Well, we've never seen a man travail with child before. But yet here it says, wherefore or what? Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins? In other words, the men will be in such pain, they're going to walk around with their hands on their loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. This is a vivid picture of the pain that they'll be experiencing. Look with me quickly, Jeremiah 4, verse 31. Jeremiah 4 and verse 31. I'm not going to look at all the references tonight about these birth pains, but this is a very, very popular expression. It's used quite frequently in Bible prophecy. Jeremiah 4, verse 31. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. And then look at Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 24. Jeremiah 6, verse 24. We have heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble, anguish has taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. So these are just a few of the references to the woman in travail. How about Jeremiah 13, verse 21? Jeremiah 13, 21. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over thee, shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? But here in Jeremiah 30, it's worse, because here we said a man. Men are going to walk around with their hands on their loins in great pain as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Merrill Unger says the figure of a woman in travail is often employed to vividly set forth Israel's sudden deliverance into millennial birth after the short but terribly painful tribulation. And Dr. Unger refers to Isaiah 66, verse 7. Why don't we turn there? Isaiah 66. And by the way, this terminology is employed in the New Testament as well. But we don't have time to look at all of them tonight. But look at Isaiah 66, verse 7. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord? Now in Matthew, chapter 24, what we refer to as the Olivet Discourse, in Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord described the first part of the tribulation period as the beginning of sorrows. This means literally the pain of childbirth or birth pangs. In fact, some Bible versions say that. Instead of beginning of sorrows, they say the beginning of birth pangs. And it means the same thing. The idea is that the tribulation is going to be very painful, but out of it will come the birth of the millennial kingdom. That's the idea. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it." That's why our Lord said, again in the same chapter, in the Olivet Discourse, in Matthew 24, verse 21, Jesus said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." He said there was never anything as bad as this, and nothing following is going to be as bad as this. He says there was nothing like it before, since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Daniel said something similar. Daniel said in chapter 12, verse 1, "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." The tribulation will be worldwide. It'll affect the whole world. But it's going to be particularly difficult and painful for Israel. That's why it's called in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. In fact, look at the end of the chapter. Chapter 30, verse 23. "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return." The whole idea of the tribulation is God's fierce anger being poured out upon this world. The wrath of God being poured upon this world. Why? Because this world rejected God. This world loves sin. This world has turned its back on God and just ignored God's word, mocked God's word, denied God's word. And so God is going to judge this world. This world, the sin-loving world. It's getting worse and worse. "The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, and until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it." Now, Unger says that purging out of a saved remnant from the apostate mass of the nation Israel to form the nucleus of the millennial kingdom is the central purpose of the great tribulation in God's plan of the ages. So God is going to deal with Israel. He's going to judge Israel. He's going to punish Israel. But out of that purging process will come the nucleus of the millennial kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 says, "Israel shall be saved out of it." You see that? Look at verse 7. "Alas, for that day is great," in the day of the Lord, the day of the tribulation, "so that none is like it, but," he says here, "it is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Let me say this tonight because some people are confused when it comes to this teaching regarding the great tribulation. Here we see in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, that Israel shall be saved out of it. But the church will not be saved out of it, the church will be saved from it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 says the church will be saved from it, not out of it. That's important. You say, why is that so important? Well, for one thing, we're not going to go through the tribulation. Secondly, the rapture will take place before the tribulation. There are some people who say, well, you know, I'm a post-tribber. Well, you're mixed up, that's all I can say. The post-tribulation means you're going to go through the entire tribulation. Some say, I'm a mid-tribber, a mid-tribulationist. They say they're going to go through halfway. Listen, I don't want to go through one day of it, amen? So I'm pre-tribulation. I believe the Bible teaches that we're going to be saved out of it, we're going to be saved from it, not out of it. Israel will be saved out of it, we'll be saved from it. There is a difference. Israel will be corrected in measure and will not be left altogether unpunished, according to verse 11. But a remnant will be saved. A remnant will be saved. The sin of Israel and Judah was grievous. It was serious. And so the Lord told them in verse 12, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There's none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. And this is what we see all throughout the Old Testament regarding Israel and Judah's backslidden condition. And this is what led up to their judgment. This backslidden condition is described in 2 Chronicles 36:16. If you study 2 Chronicles 36, you notice it's the same exact time frame as Jeremiah. Same exact period. And the condition is described in 2 Chronicles 36:16 this way. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. By the way, that sounds like America. They mocked the messengers of God, despised his words. You know, that's the way it is today. Until the wrath of God came down, the Bible says, the wrath of God arose against his people till there was no remedy. Till there was no remedy. That's what Jeremiah says. He says, their bruise is incurable. You see? Their wound is grievous. There's none to plead thy cause. Thou hast no healing medicines. There's no remedy. Not only was their bruise incurable, but their sorrow was incurable. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. Why was their sorrow incurable? Because of the multitude of their sins. For the multitude of thy iniquity. Because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Notice God says, I'm the one that's doing this. When the heat is turned on during the great tribulation, the Lord is the one who's turning up the heat. He says, I have done these things unto thee. So, they were in bad shape. And then in verse 14, you'll notice the reference to their lovers. Remember, Israel and Judah were always going to their pagan neighbors for help. Rather than turn to the Lord for help, they'd go to Syria or Babylon, Egypt. They'd always go to their heathen neighbors for help. Here they're called their lovers. In verse 14, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. God says, you've gone to all these pagan lovers for assistance. They've forgotten all about you. They've forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. Man, you're in bad shape when God considers you his enemy. That's bad. And we see that several times here in the book of Jeremiah. With the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thy iniquity, because thy sins were increased. So they were abandoned by their pagan neighbors, forgotten about. And the Lord says he had to punish them for their sin. So Israel's allies had forgotten them, and Israel's allies had abandoned them, but the Lord will never forget them or abandon them. You say, well, he's punishing them. Well, he has to. God is a just God. God's a holy God. God has to judge sin. God has to deal with sin. But he'll still stick with them. He will not abandon them. He'll protect them. He'll restore them. And he will punish their enemies. Look at verse 16. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. You see that? Now, God might use these enemies to punish Israel, but then when he's done with that, he'll punish the nations that hurt Israel. All that is devoured, they shall be devoured. And all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be spoiled. And all that prey upon me will I give for a prey. Look at verse 20 also. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And watch this. And I will punish all that oppress them. But God says, listen, your lovers might have forgotten about you. Your lovers may have abandoned you, but I will not forget about you. Now regarding verse 16, which talks about troubles that Israel is going to encounter during the tribulation, Harry Ironside said this, all down through the centuries, the nations have been made to know the truth of this verse. None have prospered long who oppressed Israel. By the way, that should be something to think about when you read the news and see what's going on. You know, Hamas and all these Muslim nations are always fighting Israel, they're not going to succeed. In fact, things are getting really bad over in Egypt now. I heard the dictator, he just ran out the back door. He's a powder. And there's rioting over there, and there's a lot of turmoil in that part of the world. But Ironside said all down through the centuries, the nations that have been made to know the truth of this verse. None have prospered long who oppressed Israel. Babylon and Assyria exist not, while Persia and Greece are still preserved. So among modern nations, there should be no question that one source, at least, of the strength of Britain and the United States is found in this, that they have, as a rule, befriended the Jews. On the other hand, the history of the powers who have stretched out their hands against the Lord's people records disaster after disaster. Spain is witness to this, and so is Russia. And others, of course, could be added to that list, but the point he's trying to make is that those who oppress Israel, those who attack Israel, God judges them. And God has blessed Great Britain and the United States because we've always been friendly to Israel and to the Jews. Let's move on here. The first point I'd make tonight, and I spent a lot of time with it because it's so important, is that the tribulation must precede the millennial kingdom. Another thing I want to talk about tonight is Israel in the millennial kingdom. Verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord." That's talking about Israel in the millennial kingdom. That's talking about Israel after going through the tribulation. That's talking about the restoration of Israel. "I will restore health unto thee," God says. The Lord will protect Israel. The Lord will preserve Israel. The Lord will restore Israel. The Lord will heal Israel during the millennial kingdom. Verse 8, going back to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For it shall come to pass in that day," that's the day of the Lord, "saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck." Now, his yoke means Israel's yoke. By the way, this is an interesting passage. Israel is referred to directly and then indirectly in verse 8. That's a rhetorical device, which we see occasionally in Scripture. The yoke referred to is that of the last great Gentile power. That would be the ten-horned beast of Revelation 13, the Antichrist and his revived Roman Empire. This beast will be destroyed. The power of the beast will be destroyed at the second coming of Christ, after which Israel will be restored to their land, and they shall enter into rest under Messiah's rule. And then verse 8 says, "Strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." So in other words, Israel will no longer be enslaved by foreign nations. Rather than serve foreigners, they shall serve the Lord their God. We see that here in verse 9. "They shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up after them." And I mentioned earlier, and some people don't agree with this, that's okay. When they get to heaven, they'll find out I was right. But during the millennial kingdom, David, King David, will be resurrected and will serve as a vice regent under the Messiah. Do you remember that our Lord said that during the millennial kingdom, many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven? Remember Jesus said that? He said that. I forgot the exact reference. I thought I had it in my notes, but I don't. But if in the millennial kingdom we're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, why can't we sit down with David too? See, the Lord is going to resurrect these Old Testament patriarchs. If you look at some of these prophecies, and if you take these prophecies literally, God will raise up David, and David will reign under the Messiah as a vice regent. Let me just give you a few examples. Keep your place in Jeremiah. Look at Ezekiel 34, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23 says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them." Now, by the way, the context here is talking about the millennial kingdom. If you study this out, it's talking about the millennial kingdom. "I'll set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, that seems pretty clear to me. It's talking about literal David. Now, Ezekiel 37, verse 24. Ezekiel 37, verse 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. In other words, notice the emphasis on them being restored to the land. The complete restoration of Israel. He says you're going to dwell in the land. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. And then look also at Hosea, the book of Hosea, and chapter 3. Right after Daniel comes Hosea, chapter 3 and verse 5. Therefore, wait, I think I'm in the wrong place here. Hang on. Bear with me. I got the wrong reference here, but bear with me. Oh, yeah, I had it right. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. That's right. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. Now, again, that's during the millennial kingdom. They're going to return to the land and restore to the land. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God. Well, they're not seeking Him now, but they will during the millennial kingdom. And David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness. Notice the time period in the latter days. The same phrase we see in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 24. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Now, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 10. Jeremiah 30, verse 10 says, therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. This looks way beyond the return from the 70-year captivity to the future restoration of Israel. From their return from the Babylonian captivity up to the destruction of Jerusalem under Titus, the Roman general, and up to their present-day troubles and turmoil, Israel has not enjoyed rest. She's always been under siege. And it has been one long record of unrest and warfare and trouble. But notice in verse 10, Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Now, if we can take that literally, this is obviously a future restoration of Israel. And not just Israel, but Israel and Judah together, as we see in this chapter, particularly verses 3 and 4 and so on. Now, during the millennial kingdom, Jacob shall return, Israel shall return. Let's move on. Time is flying here. So we see that before the millennial kingdom, there has to be the tribulation period. We also see here that Israel will be restored. Very clearly, the Bible teaches that in the millennial kingdom. And then also we see the emphasis here on Israel being healed, pardoned, saved, and so on during the millennial kingdom. Verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee, I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, how no man seeketh after. All over the world, people hate the Jews. They say, this is Zion, and no one seeketh after her. They call an outcast. And the Jews have been kicked out of one country after another, all over the world. But it's going to be different when the Lord comes back. It's going to be different when they turn to Jesus and accept Him as their Messiah. This prophecy, these prophecies we see here tonight are going to be fulfilled during the tribulation, when a remnant of Jews will be saved, and the Lord returns to establish His kingdom in Jerusalem. Keep your place here. Go to Ezekiel 37. We already looked at Ezekiel 37 a few minutes ago. Let's go there again. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 20. Ezekiel 37 is a wonderful chapter. Chapter 37, verse 20. And the sticks, there's two sticks. One stick is the northern kingdom, Israel. The other stick is the southern kingdom, Judah. And the sticks were now Write it shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'll take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation, say one nation, not northern kingdom of Samaria and southern kingdom of Judah and so on. One nation. I mean, the one nation will land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them. That's King Jesus. One king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations. In other words, no more Judah and Israel. No more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places where they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Again, that's not describing the situation today. And most Jews reject Jesus Christ. They don't believe the Bible. They're into all sorts of worldly foolishness. But this will be fulfilled at the end times, when they get punished and chastened during the tribulation, and a remnant will turn to Christ and be gloriously saved and restored. Verse 24, And David, my servant, shall be king over them. We already saw that. Verse 25, They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant. We saw that already. And then verse 26, Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If this doesn't talk about a future restoration of Israel, words have no meaning. Amen? If you can't believe the Bible and not and deny the future restoration of Israel. Verse 28, And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So the Lord will indeed restore Israel. Israel will no longer be an outcast, as we see in Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Though Israel certainly is considered an outcast by many people today, they're considered an outcast in the United Nations, that's for sure. They're considered an outcast by most people in Europe today, but they're not going to be considered an outcast when God restores them to the land. Isaiah 62, verses 11 and 12, describes the restored Israel during the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 62, verses 11 and 12 says, Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people. Well, they're not holy people today, but they're going to be holy people in the future. And the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. See the contrast? Outcast. And now they're going to be sought out, a city not forsaken. What a difference. And by the way, Jeremiah, going back to Jeremiah 30 and verse 18, it talks about them living in tents. You see, that refers to their wanderings. The story of the wandering Jew, it's legendary. The Jews wandering around, living in tents. But the Lord promises that he's going to bring them again into captivity. That he's going to restore them. Bring them from the captivity. He'll have mercy on them. And then also, interesting, in verse 18, is that the city shall be built upon her own heap. That's interesting. The city's going to be built upon her own heap. Do you know many towns and cities in Israel today are built on heaps? That's a fact. They're built on heaps of ancient cities destroyed by war. Archaeologists love going over there. They just keep digging and finding all these other layers and layers of cities. They keep on building on top of heaps. For example, Tel Aviv literally means spring mound. Aviv is Hebrew for spring, and Tel is an archaeological site.